Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles today, no condemnation to you. We've got super large ones up here that you can read from. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living. Man, the presence of God is so strong up here, y'all. Who are living as foreigners. So today I'm starting a new series entitled Different. And today I want to attack the subject matter of different faith. F-A-I-T-H. Different faith. Amen. Honey, would you please pray over me that I would not only preach under the weight of the Holy Spirit, but that they would hear what God is saying to them today.
God, we count it a privilege every time we can walk in your house. Every time, God, that you show up, God, things happen. We've got a reason to praise your name today. God, thank you for already being here. Thank you for already ministering to people in a way that only you can do. God, I pray today people would understand that your love for them is so real. Yeah. God, that your love for them is unconditional. Nothing that they could do would ever make you stop loving them. And I pray that they would get a hold of that today, God. When they leave here, they would feel encouraged. They would feel empowered. They'd feel equipped, God, to know that your love is stirring them. God, stir them today, Jesus. Stir your people today, God. Get a hold of them today, Jesus. Yes, let them know that you are for them and not against them. That you have a purpose and a destiny for them. And I pray, Jesus, that the Spirit of God would arise up inside of them today. Yes, that you would burst something inside of them today.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. God, give us ears to hear what you are saying today. And I pray supernatural strength over my husband today. That you would speak life through his words today, God. That you would strengthen him, God. Lord, I pray that his ears would be so keen to you that when you're speaking to him about an individual, God, that he would be able to hear it. And God, I just pray that your spirit would continue to drop here at LifeGate Church. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before you're seated, reach over to somebody and tell them you are different. Look over somebody else and say, no, you different. Step up off me. You different. Amen and amen. Hey, online campus, we're so glad that you tuned in today and that we pray God blessings over you. And we're so thankful that you're watching via the World Wide Web. We will be recording today for television, so please be mindful of the ups and downs, ins and outs, as it's not only distracting to your neighbor, but it's also distracting to those who are watching. And God has definitely got a word that I believe today is not just for here, but it's for the nations. And most of you probably don't realize, but our podcast goes into communist areas throughout the world, and we get reports back from them. And so this message that I'm bringing today is one that I've been apprehended or arrested by the Holy Spirit to preach to you today. I went from having 14 pages of notes to 20 to 30 to 40 pages of notes. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday, said, throw all of them away, start over. And so that's what I did. And so my message that I'm bringing you today is one that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to hear, especially as we enter into this next phase of ministry at LifeGate Church. And I just wanted to settle it in your heart. After the first year, we will be going to another service. I don't know what that's going to look like. It may be a Saturday night service, a Sunday evening service, but kind of look around the room, guys. I mean, he's got a sense of humor to some degree, and he gives us a building that's too small, but it's all right. We love him anyway, and he can build a big, gigantic, multi-million-dollar complex over here. And I'm a little bit different kind of preacher, different kind of pastor. And I like to talk about issues that are hard to talk about. And so today I want to talk about faith that is different. Here in the text of 1 Peter, Peter said here that he's writing to God's chosen people, those who are living as foreigners. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a foreigner. And this Greek word here, I don't want anything to be misconstrued today. We know that we have foreigners in Independence in Kansas City and all around us that literally come from other nations. That's not what I'm speaking of when I say you're a foreigner. The actual definition of this word foreigner in the Greek is the word exile, sojourner, alien, stranger, or foreigner. It literally means you're from another place. In the words of Carrie Underwood, this here planet Earth is just our temporary home. We come from a different place. We come from Mount Zion. We come from New Jerusalem. God the Creator is our Lord and Savior. We are just here temporarily. And what Peter was trying to convey to that early church is what I'm trying to convey to you today. Our trials in the spectrum of time are but for a short moment on this earth. For there is an afterlife after this earth. There is an eternity to gain after we leave this old planet. There is a real heaven and there is a real hell. So Peter was saying to the early church, guys, be encouraged. We are but foreigners in this land. To understand really, though, the depth of Peter's message, and I haven't got to the preaching part of my message just yet because I want you to really understand and see what Peter was preaching. A lot of you in this room came into church today and you came going through a hard time in life, or you came going through trials and tribulation and turmoil. What we define as a trial in our life today is nothing like a trial of what they were going through yesterday. We get a hangnail and we stay home from church because we're going through something. We have $12 in our account, and so we stay home because we're going through a trial. But the early church's trial didn't look like our trials. Here, Peter, I don't need that no more. You good, honey? We time my messages for first and second service, but I just feel we need to let loose this third service and let God do it. What would he do it, by the way? And so here, I didn't mean that to be rude, honey. I'm sorry if that sounded rude. And y'all, I'm not rude to my wife. She's just helping me out, but I didn't want her to be distracted by that or I. And so in the early church here, Peter was preaching to a church that was being persecuted barbarically by an emperor by the name of Nero, who came out of Rome. And this emperor was so narcissistic, brutal, and persecuted the early Christians in a barbaric way. He was crazy in his head and narcissistic. He killed his own mom, and he was married twice and killed both of his wives. And he hated the early church. He was an amazing architect and builder, and he loved building buildings around Rome. And it got to a place in his rulership that the Senate would no longer allow him to build any more buildings. So he went into Rome and he burned the city to the ground over a 7-month period and blamed that burning on the Christians. So the Christians then entered a very hard time of extreme persecution. They weren't just being called funny names on Facebook or Twitter. They were giving up their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. We can't get Christians to get out of bed to come to church. They was literally spilling their blood in the streets because they wouldn't bow their knee to the system of the day. And this Roman emperor by the name of Nero took Christians and stripped them naked and put them in cages. He would then go hunting during the day, and he would kill an animal and have those animals skinned and put those skins upon those Christians with fresh blood upon them in the cages. And then he would loose ravaging wolves that with rabies and nasty foul animals that would go in there and literally eat them Christians to death while he would sit at his table and watch for nightly entertainment as he sipped his wine and he drank his steak or ate his steak. He would have community celebrations where he would invite people over to his palace, and he would take Christians and strip them naked and dip their bodies in wax, tie them to a tree, and then let those trees burn throughout the night with Christians screaming as their lives were being taken by fire. They were being severely persecuted. So Peter writes this text to say to the Christians that were related to those loved ones who were being persecuted, hey guys, these trials are but for a short moment. Don't be frustrated in this time that we are in right now, for there is a hope that we have, for we are just foreigners. We are just passing through this old world. We are here but for a short time. Persecution will only last a small ways. Trials will only last a short time. For there is a heaven to gain on the other side of this life. He was encouraging the early church, and I want to encourage you today. Just because you go through hell here does not give you the right to give a hope up on Jesus. Because, my friend, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Trials, yes. Tribulations, yes. Persecution, yes. But hold on to your faith. Endure hardship like a good soldier. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We have different faith than that of the world. In the world, when you go through hell, you pick up a joint. But in this kingdom, when you go through hell, you hold on. In the world, when you go through hell, you pop a pill. But in this world, in the kingdom world, you hold on. In the world you live in, when you go through hell, you lie, you cheat, you steal. But when you get saved, you hold on to the hope that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 6 through 7 says this. So be truly glad, my brothers and my sisters, because there is wonderful joy ahead of you. He's saying, be glad because heaven is around the corner. Even though you must endure many trials here for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. People come to church, Rob, I've seen it with all my life. They come to church, they get on fire for God, and then some of y'all, we don't see you 6 months later. You know why? Because your faith wasn't genuine. If genuine faith attaches itself to the church, then false faith does as well. There's two main false faiths that are here today outside of the true faith. The first one is shallow faith. Some of you have shallow faith. You don't really apply the word to your heart. You hear it preached, but you don't let it get down and root into your heart. And therefore, you don't produce any spiritual fruit. If you're not spiritually fruity, it's because you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to give you much rooty. You got to get that root embedded deep down into your heart. Come on, somebody. You got to get the word of God in so you can get the garbage out, because some of your faith is shallow. I see it all the time. People get saved. 6 months later, you don't see them. They're right back in the mess that they came in with. Back on the bar stool, sipping that joint. They're back in the addiction that they came in with because their faith wasn't very deep. God is calling you, LifeGate Church, to come out of your shallow faith, because we believe different around here. There's a real heaven. Shallow faith. They get offended by somebody in church, and because their faith is so shallow, they go right back into the world. Shallow faith. Then there's that inherited faith. Inherited faith. Well, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven because my daddy's a preacher. Preacher, I know that I'll be all right to get into glory land because I had a praying grandma. I'm going to get into heaven because I listen to podcasts. I'm going to get on into glory land because I believe in that song, Sweet By and By, when the morning comes. Oh, the saints of God carry on. I'm going to get into heaven because I got a relationship with Elder Mark Tighe. And the passenger is my friend. That's called inherited faith. But around here, we believe a little differently. See, the world has gotten this funny concept because preachers are having faulty conversions because they're preaching a faulty gospel. A real gospel tells us, except a man be born again, he can't even see heaven. We've got this faulty idea that when people die, we go to their funerals, and just because it's a funeral, they're going to heaven. But I believe what the Bible said. If we confess with our mouth, not the Savior, the Lord Jesus, Pastor, the Lord is my co-pilot. That's your problem. Pastor, the Lord is my secondary. That's your problem. If he's not Lord of all of your life, if he ain't Lord of your money, if he ain't Lord of your mind, if he ain't Lord of your heart, if he's not Lord of everything, he will be Lord of nothing. Whoever confesses the Lord Jesus Christ and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Where have we got this goofy gospel that you can live any old way you want to and get into heaven? Honey, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you give up your right to be right. You give up your right to be God, lowercase g. You give up your right to be lowercase l. You surrender to the Lord, the Master Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel around here. I believe the word is right and the world is wrong. Paul said, it is by grace. It's by grace. I'm going to say some stuff today, but you're going to leave here knowing. It is by grace you have been saved. Not of your works. It's not in how many times you come to church. It's not in how many times you repeat the preacher. It's not in how many prayers you know, how many rosaries you know, how many times you've been into a confession booth. It is by grace you've been saved. It is a free gift of God. Listen, religion will not save you. Buddhism, Pentecostalism, Muslimism will not save you. There is only one name given among men whereby we can be saved, but the name of Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. Listen, your church attendance won't get you there. Your praise and worship participatory will not get you there. You giving large offerings into the offering plate will not get you there. Do you know Jesus? I'm intoxicated with the idea that America is being lied to build a building and a structure. I'm a little old school, you know. I got some old soul in me still, you know. I still believe how the old saints used to pray was the right way. I believe how the old saints used to pray when they prayed through. We got a generation don't know how to pray through. We got a generation don't live right. We got a generation thinks that holiness is a four-letter cuss word. I'm a little old school. I remember growing up, they would preach one of three messages every service. Number one, they'd preach on the Holy Ghost. There's something you don't hear preach on. Put that on national television. They preached on the Holy Ghost. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We believe what the Bible said, that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We believe that the Holy Ghost is the third agent of God that's here. Jesus ain't here. The Father's not here. They are in heaven. He is the eternal judge. Jesus is our intercessor praying for us. But thanks be to God, he didn't leave us as orphans. On the day of Pentecost, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Number two, we believe that Jesus was coming back. We believe, listen, hey world, there's still preachers who believe in the rapture of the church. We believe that every eye will see it, every ear will hear it. He's going to come like a thief in the middle of the night. He's going to blow that trumpet and all of heaven is going to open up. We're going to shoot up out of here. And those who remain that are on this earth are going to say, see ya, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We believe in the rapture. I don't believe all y'all going neither. I believe he's only coming for a perfect, spotless bride. He ain't coming for a whorish church that's in this church on Sunday and in the bed with the lover on Monday. He's coming back for a spotless church. You better get right or you're going to get left. Oh, y'all ain't ready for me. I'm an old school preacher. I'm from a bygone generation. You better churn or you're going to burn. I don't believe in all that, preacher. That's because you made a gospel out of falsism. But I'm a preacher of truth. If you don't repent, you will not see heaven. But that third thing they preached about, they would preach eternity as if you was about to walk into it today. They would preach hell so hot, you couldn't wait till the preacher was over because your booty was burning. You felt like you had to get to the altar. We sang about eternity. We preached about eternity. We talked about eternity. It was in our conversation. We live in a generation, we don't talk about it no more. We don't preach about it no more. But I got some different faith right now. I got some faith a normal generation don't have. I believe Jesus is coming, and I believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell. No in between. We would sing old gospel songs. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. I'm out of here. Where? To that land where God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Come on, if you know, sing with me. Oh, glory, fly away. When I die, hallelujah. Adios, I'm out of here. Fly away. I can remember little old Grandma Meyer. She passed away at 102, I think it was 102 years old. And she told me right before she passed away, she was in her right mind, kneeling next to her bed. I came down at 2 o'clock in the morning. And she said, "Is that you, Brian?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Get in here." And I said, "What you need, Grandma?" She goes, "Can you hear it?" I said, "Can I hear what, Grandma?" She said, "Can you hear the angels singing?" I said, "What are you talking about, Grandma?" She said, "The angels are coming to get me. And the Holy Ghost told me to tell you." She said, "You're going to see an end-time revival greater than my 102-year-old eyes have ever seen." She said, "Jesus is coming." One of her favorite songs, I could hear her still singing. She would grab her little, she had a little silk nightie on, you know, with her hair up in a bun and had that powder on her face, and she'd be eating them big old prunes, right? You need prunes at 102 years old. And she would walk to her bed saying, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved." I can still see her in my mind walking to bed. "Oh, and what takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." Them old saints, you know, they talked about heaven. They were so scared of hell, and you didn't have to tell them. They weren't looking to get in the backseat of nobody's car because they was in love with Jesus and knew heaven was their home. You didn't have to scare hell out of them because God loved them on the inside, and they was waiting to see Jesus. Come on, somebody. They talked about heaven, preached about heaven, thought about heaven. They had eternity on their mind. That's why they used to sing songs like, "Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?" They wanted to know, "Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?" Nobody knows this song. "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" They were concerned about where you spend eternity. In modern day church, we're more concerned about presentation of how we look than changing in presentation of your heart. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm a different kind of preacher. I know it. I'm not popular. I'm not in the mold of what's current. I got the skinny jeans and the booming preaching. But I am here to tell you today, do you know Jesus? Eternity. 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 Look at your neighbor and say eternity. Eternity. Now, eternity defined in the Webster's dictionary is the timeless state which follows death. You and I are made up of three parts. You have a spirit. Did you know that? Your spirit is what communicates to God, what hears from God. When you came to the altar to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it was your spirit that was pulling you. You heard God say, "Come to me." You heard God say, "I'm asking you to come and follow me." We all have a spirit, and today your spirit is either alive in Jesus or it's dead to yourself. That's why Jesus said you got to be born again. Now, this doesn't mean you've got to crawl back up in your mama and be reborn. You were born once in the natural. You got to be born again in the spirit. Hello, somebody. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's what Jesus said. You are made of spirit. Secondly, you have a soul. Everyone in this room has a mind to think the way we think, our own will and our own emotions. I would encourage you today, don't let your will trump God's will and keep you out of heaven. Hello, somebody. And number three, you live in a shell. You have a body that you live in this earth. Yesterday morning, I had a call from my father-in-law. He and I were talking. And I said, Dad, how is Grandpa doing? He said, well, he's gasping for air. And there's something gurgling in the back of his throat, son. It won't be long. And Grandpa's going to be with Jesus. 10 minutes later, I got a text from my mother-in-law. She said, hey, honey, I just want you to know Grandpa drew his last breath and he's no longer on this planet. In that moment and in that second, my grandfather's body is still here on this earth. His shell is here. His shell ain't going nowhere till the return of the Lord, when he'll return back to that body and come out a glorified body, and corruption will take on incorruption, is what your Bible said, at the rapture. And he'll look more perfect than he's ever looked before. But his spirit man jumped out of his body, and the Bible said to be absent from the shell is to be present with the Lord. I came here to tell you today, number one, death is certain. Death is coming for you. There is a clock that you have that's waiting to take your body out of this earth. Every single day in this world, on this globe, 155,000 people will walk into eternity. That's 6,400 every hour and two every second. Well, Pastor, I'm too young to die. Pastor, I'm too good looking to die. Death don't care how old you are. Death don't care how good looking you are. It is appointed unto man to die one time. James said your life is but a vapor. You are here today and you are gone tomorrow. Death is coming for you. You can nip it. You can tuck it. You can implant it. You can lift it. It doesn't matter, honey. You are dying right now. Death is certain. Death is certain. Death is certain. Yeah. Preacher, I feel like Justin Bieber. I'm never going to say that. Never say never. Because death is coming for you. It's coming for you. Tick. Tuck. Tick. Somebody get me a rope. There's one back there. Tick. Tuck. Tick. Tuck. I want to smoke a little bit. Tick. Tuck. Drink a little bit. Tick. I was going to go to church, but then I got high. Tick. Tuck. I was going to surrender, but then I got high. I was going to give my life to Jesus, but then I got high. Jesus came back. Now I'm going to die. Life is but a vapor. Rob, this is a long rope right here. Stretches a pretty long ways. A lot of people live their life not realizing. See, most of you in this room, that's how long your life is. Actually, that's how long your life is. And there's an eternity on the other side of this rope that goes as far as your eye can see and further. A Google means 10 forever. It's 10 forever. But see, all you in this room, what you're doing is focusing on this, my mortgage, my bills. That's why you compromise and you don't care. There's no conviction about it. That's why you can do that and live any old way you want to, and there's no compromising because you ain't looking on the other end of this rope. There is an eternity. There is an eternity, and it's not waiting for you. Eternity waits for no one. Hell waits for no one. Heaven waits for no one. There is a real God, so there must be a real devil. If you believe the Bible, there is a real God, a real devil, a real heaven, and a real hell. Death is certain. But death is but a comma. Number two. Death is a comma for what's to come. I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't tell you full truth. I can't wait to see heaven with my eyes. I can read it in the Bible, and it makes some sense to me, but we don't ever really know because it really is a mystery. There are three heavens that your Bible speaks of. The first heaven is the one that hangs about 12 inches above your head all the way up into the clouds. The Bible talks about the atmosphere. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is from the clouds all the way out there to that planet they no longer call a planet, called Pluto. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is way past all of that, past the Milky Way, past the Big Dipper, where we find its own planet, where we believe theologically, because the New Jerusalem is called a city. In order for something to have a city, it must have a state. In order to have a state, you got to have a nation. In order to have a nation, you must have some type of sphere. In the city of our God, New Jerusalem, that John saw, the Bible says that heaven is a place where that there's a gate that goes around the city in a square-like fashion. That's 1,400 miles this way. If you left Kansas City and drove all the way to San Diego and out into the coast a couple hundred miles, that's how wide heaven is. It's made of a solid gate made of jaspers and precious, amazing, beautiful stone of jasper. Upon the gate of heaven is 12 gates that swing open wide around that fence, and they're made of solid pearls, and they swing on welcome hinges. Can't wait to see them, can you? In the center of this city that's 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles wide is a golden throne that our Prince and Savior Jesus Christ is seated upon. And Revelation paints the picture that his hair is as white as wool and his eyes are like a flame of fire. And he wears a vestige that's dipped in blood. And he has a name written on his leg, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus will be there. Heaven. Out of the throne of God goes a river that's called the River of Life. The River of Life has branches on both sides of this river where trees are gathered and planted of every kind of tree on this earth, plus some we've never known, except for gumball trees, because they're from the curse. Bible said there'll be skyscrapers 1,400 miles, Rob, in the sky. Can you imagine? Skyscrapers made of solid gold, streets paved in solid gold, a sea that's made of solid crystal. But I want you to know something today. If I never seen a sea of crystal, if I never seen a gate made of solid pearl, if I never seen one skyscraper made of solid gold or one street block paved in gold, just get me to where Jesus is, my friend. Because in heaven is where Jesus is going to be. And wherever he's going to be, it's going to be all right with me. Heaven. Death is certain. It is but a comma. Number three. Death seals your eternal destiny. Now, I wouldn't be a very good preacher if I only talked about heaven. Because just as much as there is a heaven whose Jesus is its Lord, there is a counterpart. If you believe the Bible, you must believe. Now, you would be dumbfounded at the percentage of Christians who believe in heaven and God, but don't believe in hell and the devil. Satan has duped this generation to believe a lie, and your Bible said, and to be damned. Deeper than a little ghoul we see at Halloween with a pitchfork and a mask. Hell. The Bible defines hell as a place where the smoke of those who are being tormented in hell will ascend up into the nostrils of God. Isaiah the prophet said that hell will be a place where souls are being pushed off a pavilion judgment seat, are being pushed off and stacked one upon the other in a place called hell. Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. And it's mentioned the word hell 54 times in your Bible, not including the pit, the grave, the abyss. There is a real hell where your Bible tells us there'll be a continual storm there. Well, you'll be remembered of the day you sat in church and heard a preacher preach about eternity, but you didn't follow Jesus that day. It's a place of complete isolation, pain, torment, grief, forever and ever. Hell. What do you want to go to hell for? What are you sacrificing heaven for hell? Is that high really worth it? Come on, somebody. Is that sex really worth it? Is that porn really worth you missing out on heaven and splitting hell wide open? Don't go to hell for anybody. Well, Pastor, I'm my own man. That's your problem. I'm my own woman. That's your problem. That's a spirit of pride, and you can't enter heaven with pride. The Bible said God resists the proud. Well, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What are you going to hell for? I would say hell no. Heaven yes. That's what I would say if I was you. I can't believe that preacher just said it. Hell no. Heaven yes. Stop saying yes to hell. Some of you are like, yes, hell, yes, hell, yes, hell. Ooh, yes, hell. You need to learn to say no, hell, heaven, yes. Hell will be a place where you will be completely isolated from everyone who said they loved you. For countless of ages of time, you will hear Pastor Brian Gallardo on, what is this, October 27th? You'll remember, I should have given my life to Jesus on October 29th. But I was too arrogant and too prideful to say yes to Jesus and no to sin. I know it's not popular. I know people leave on it. I know people don't want nothing to do with it in this day we live in, but it's gospel truth. You sound like a hellfire brimstone preacher. Do you want me to be a preacher that's an error? Or would you like me to be one that tells you the truth? I've got the cure for spiritual cancer. His name is Jesus. And he can change you. He can save you. He can reach you. But you got to surrender to him. Jesus. Death is for certain. It is but a comma. It will seal your eternal destination. I don't believe coming to church gets you to heaven. That's crazy. You can say 55 Hail Marys full of grace, save us from this awful place. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Where's your heart at, man? Is your business your God? Is your money your God? Can you not stand up for what's righteous? Because the Bible said if you deny me before men my ways, then he's going to deny you before heaven in God's ways. When you die, you will literally stand before the judgment seat of God. He will open up a book that Revelation says is the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to flip through its pages. He's going to look down the list. He's going to see if your name is written there on that book. Matthew chapter 7 tells us, there will be many on that day that say, Lord, Lord, I got to get into heaven. I went to church in your name. I prophesied in your name. I shouted the preacher on in your name. We got hype at church, yo. It was lit. Come on, Jesus. Well, let me look for your name. I'm sorry. You're not in this book. But God, we shouted in your name. I gave big money in your name. I paid the church off. You wouldn't obey me. Come on, read it. Read it, read it. Lord, Lord, this is Jesus, not Gallardo. Lord, Lord. Well, not everyone who says Lord will get to heaven. You won't get in just because you say Lord. But here we go, God. But only the ones who do the will. The will. Obedience. Sacrifice. It's entry-level Christianity. If you don't obey, don't think in your mind leaving here that you're on your way to heaven, because you are not, my friend. You are duped. You are misled. You are being lied to by doctrines of demons. But I got to tell you the truth today, because there is hope. There's hope in Jesus. Yes, you may not be right today, but you can be right before you get out of this building. Yes, death is certain. Yes, it is but a comma. Yes, it does seal your eternal destiny, but you're not dead yet. And you can make a choice today to turn from your sin and give your life to God. They brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Blood coming out of every portal of his body. Flesh hanging like ribbons. Was beat. His own mama couldn't recognize him. They pulled his beard out, spit in his face. And Pontius Pilate asked a question throughout all of those listening there in Jerusalem. What do you want me to do with this Jesus you call the Christ? And I heard the Holy Spirit ask me in prayer so strong this morning, ask my people today, what are they doing with Jesus? Not LifeGate Church, not religion, not your church attendance. I got a perfect church attendance, Pastor. I'm a tither. I'm a member of that. What are you doing with Jesus? Because you can tithe, you can come to every service and still split hell wide open. There are good people in hell that tithe and gave big bucks and showed up to church, but their heart was far from God. What are you going to gain in this world at the expense of sacrificing your soul? Money, sex, drugs, disobedience. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy up here like a deer caught in the headlights. This is what the gospel says. How do you know you need to get saved if you don't know you're sick? Your heart is sick. You are sinful before Jesus. The Bible said your heart is wicked. Say, Pastor, I'd never give my life to Jesus. My heart's still a mess. You need to turn your life over to Jesus today. Because there's still hope. There's still a cross that bleeds. There is still a Savior that saves. There is still a deliverer who delivers. There is still a Jesus who loves. There is still a resurrector that resurrects. There is still a God who has hope for you. He is the answer. He is the hope. He is Jesus. Heaven. It's going to be a beautiful place. No stress there. No tears there. No sickness will be there. No abandonment will be there. All those feelings that you deal with in your own heart, that you feel like you're crazy because what happened to you growing up, even though you love God, you surrender your life to God, but those things still haunt you, they won't be there. We're just foreigners, guys. Passing on through. We are different. Our faith is different. We put our hope in something different. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. You say, Pastor, I believe once you get saved, you're always saved. Well, that's because you don't read the Bible. Well, Pastor, the Bible said, once you come into the fellowship, no man can snatch you out of my hand. That is very true. The devil himself can't get you out of the fellowship of God, but you can. Paul said, in the last day, many will depart from their faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And so, the Bible says, we'll be damned. What's keeping you out of relationship with God? Because I'm here to tell you today, it ain't worth it. My grandfather, who just, it was really my wife's grandfather, but he felt like a grandpa to me. And he left a legacy as a man of God who preached for 6 decades, guys. 6 decades. I never saw him waver in his faith, and I've been knowing him since I was a little boy. When I was 4 years old, my mother-in-law, this is a crazy story. My mother-in-law came to Pastor Hart's church when his uncle was the pastor, and I told her with big old brown eyes, I said, I want to go home with you. I didn't see them until I grew up again, and now I'm married to their daughter. So I've been knowing them a long time. And all I know about Grandpa Becker is that he had a legacy as a word preacher to preach what the word said. Guys, in today's world, there's a lot of good preachers out there in the world, but there's a lot of messed up ones who are trying to just be popular and reflect Justin Bieber. That's not my calling. My calling is to snatch people from the hordes of hell. That's my calling. To lead people to Jesus. That's my calling. Come on, somebody. I want everyone to stand to your feet with me today. Honey, if you please come back up here with me, that'd be great. And I need a sweat rack because I'm about to build a swimming pool up here. I believe there's a lot of good intended people that come to church. There's a lot of people come to church with bad intentions, right? A lot of people come to church and they have the mindset, if you preach on what I don't like, I'm out. Peace out. Don't call me. Don't reach out to me. I'm out. But I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what I preach, whether people come or people go.